This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
And good morning at 8:06. It is another race weekend, and what a huge one it is. Boy, we've got NASCAR, we've got modifieds all over the Gulf Coast, and a demolition derby. It's going to be great. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, and always brought to you by great sponsors. Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, and Dewey Miller's Competition Head Service here in Mobile, Government and Butler. And whether you've got a bomber all the way up to a late model, he's the one you want to build on one of your motors. So who do we got? Well, hang on. Matt Weaver's standing by, the executive editor of Popular Speed, knocking off another track off his list as he lives for the moment. And this time, the first time at the other MIS. He's not at Mobile, no, at Michigan International Speedway. What a great ARCA race. We're going to talk about that. Martin Truex Jr. also had a great win last weekend, and he wants to get an extension on a contract. We'll see how that's going. Joe McArdle standing by with Sunny South Raceway results from another great race weekend last weekend. They race next Saturday, June 20th, as we're already halfway through the season. Now, Tim Bryant last night had the Modifieds of Mayhem Tour. They stopped by for the first time at Five Flag Speedway last night. It was a great race, and not a surprise who won, but how he got there, we'll have to talk about it. Also, the bike races were great at intermission, and we almost had a brand new winner. Dave Nolan almost took the win in the Superstocks. We'll talk about that, and a huge field for the Bombers. Sportsman also ran. Now, tonight at Mobile International Speedway, make sure to gather up the family. This is one of the most popular races next to the Lee Fields race, because tonight it's the Pitts & Sons Demolition Derby. Right after all the other races, including the Pro Late Models running for 20 and 30 laps, while the Bombers and Sportsmen, Tim will talk about it. And then one more time with the Modifieds, this time on the dirt, the IMCA brand new rules and a brand new package. It's Jay Wells with the Southern tonight, with the Bay Area Modifieds. This is the Emerald Coast Tour, and it's been a great run. A lot of people starting to show up, and we'll learn a little bit about what they're doing and the points and everything like that. So we head up to the Great White North. No white up there. It's just, black and gray around the track with Matt Weaver at Michigan. First of all, 300,000 miles on your truck. Are you serious?
You know, and about 100,000 of them, Kane, has come in the past season and a half or so. Good morning, bud. How's it going?
Hey, great, man. We're finding a little cold, but I think everybody's got a lot of that. I don't know how you can get that in the summertime, but hey, it's race day, so it doesn't matter. It all gets trumped. Let me ask you something as we get straight into this. I love the ARCAs, and now I think a lot of people on the Gulf Coast are paying more attention to the ARCA racing, especially now we've got some drivers up there, Thomas Prater. You've also got Grant Enfinger, and then again, you've got the race here in Mobile. So they raced at Michigan, and you got to talk about Grant for a minute before we talk about first-time winner Ross Candith. Grant's had, as we talked a little bit off the air, an up-and-down season so far.
Yeah, he's still the points leader by virtue of winning the first three races of the season at Daytona, Mobile, and Fairground Speedway, Nashville. But after that, it's been kind of a rocky road in that he's had the car to beat pretty much at every single race. And it looked like he maybe had the car to beat again, although Ross Kenseth and Ken Schrader Racing looked awfully stout. But it turned into a fuel mileage race, and we had a lot of cautions. And, you know, I think the pace car led the most laps.
Oh, man, wow.
And, you know, Grant had to pit with about three laps to go from second place after Ross had passed him straight up. But I went to go talk to Grant after the race, and he said it wasn't him running out of gas. He said that he had some sort of fuel pump issue, and which is weird because you talked to several other guys in the garage, and they had some fuel pump issues too. Venturini Motorsports had a fuel pump issue. There's another guy who I can't remember off the top of my head, but the one consensus theme was is that it seems like Holley has an issue, the manufacturer. That was the common theme between all of those guys who had fuel pump issues. So it's something that they certainly need to address, and it cost Grant at least a second-place finish, bumped him to eighth, and yet again, it's another race for Josh Williams and Tommy to eat into that championship lead, and they're hanging around. And remember, last year, Brendan Finger had the best car, the best team once he moved to GMS Racing, and he just barely lost that championship because Mason Mitchell top 10'd him to death and had more consistency. And it looks like we could have a very similar situation play out this year with, again, Josh Williams and Tommy Hessert.
What would it mean for Grant's career? I mean, everything that he's done, I've heard, Humpy Wheeler say, this boy needs a cup ride, plain and simple. What's it going to take to get Grant to that next level?
I don't even know. Yeah. I mean, look, we everyone says it, right?
Yeah.
You know, Humpy has said, you know, this guy is very, very good. You know, I've written so many articles about it. The thing with Grant, and you know this, Grant's got a very low-key, subdued personality. He's not flashy. He's just a guy that's the first one to get into the shop, working on the cars himself all day. He's virtually his own crew chief. I know Kelly Kofsky is essentially the crew chief on the car, but Grant calls his own shots on that ARCA program. That's his team. They hire him to work on the Camping World trucks. And the cool thing about Grant is, again, he's the first one in the office. He works on those trucks, and as soon as he clocks out and is done working on the trucks, he moves over to his ARCA car to work on that.
Gosh.
And that's on his own time. And so he's just what you want in a modern race car driver, in the era where you have guys who hang out in their motor coaches and in their yachts and play golf all week. Grant Enfinger is a racer. And as Mobilians, we know this. And I just wish there was a better way to make that translate to success in the Sprint Cup Series because, again, everyone listening to this show this morning knows Grant Enfinger's the man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But now, again, like you said, not last night or yesterday, Ross Kenseth wins, 22-year-old. Now, we've seen him all over the Gulf Coast running late models. Again, a great win for him, and that's just going to, again, take him to the next level, isn't it?
Well, the cool thing about Ross Kenseth is I know sometimes with second-generation drivers, there's this concern that, well, you know, it's daddy's money.
Oh, yeah.
And look, you know, we all know Matt's got the money to fund a really strong NASCAR prospect operation.
Yeah.
You know, Matt could have forked over, you know, $3-4 million to Ross and said, go to the moon.
Yeah.
But Ross, like we've seen on the Gulf Coast and in the Midwest, has done this the right way. You know, he's tried to build his own program, the Generation 3 Motorsports. He's tried to move over to a different team last year, the Boyne Machine Racing Company, and it's not been highly funded operations, you know. Ross has been focusing on his education, his schooling, and that's taken up a bulk of his time, and so it's just cool for me, one, to see a late model guy make it, but also a late model guy have some success when he hasn't been handed anything. He ran this race to get him prepared for his NASCAR Xfinity Series debut next weekend, the standalone race in Joliet. I'll be there to cover that. He hasn't had a ton of big track experience. We've seen him win races on the Gulf Coast. We've seen him win Fairground Speedway Nashville, the All-American. But he hasn't had a ton of super speedway stuff. And he proved on Friday, yesterday, he can certainly get it done. And he's going to be in Joe Gibbs Racing Equipment come Saturday.
Oh, that's going to be good. Yeah, yeah. Keep an eye on Ross. What number is he running? Do you know?
That is the 20 car he'll
20.
Be running
okay,
next
awesome.
Weekend.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about Casey Kane's third pole of the season on a year that he needs to have some success. 201.992 miles an hour. And you know, Harvick was right there, too.
You know, Casey Kane's pumped.
Yeah.
There's no secret. He's had a frustrating season just because they are better than where the results indicate.
Yeah.
And the results just haven't showed up for whatever reason. And, you know, they're a big head-scratcher.
Mm-hmm.
We know Casey Kane, when he's on the top of his game, can get it done, and he just hasn't really over the past, really during his entire tenure at Hendrick Motorsports.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a huge frustration for him. And if we're being honest, he's on the hot seat. I know he just signed the 3-year extension, which made a lot of people scratch their head. But, you know, we know how these contracts can work out. If he doesn't perform, the contract doesn't mean next to anything.
Yeah.
So he needs to step up. And I think having the speed and posting some results, getting some poles, that's the start. and we know how this wacky championship format works, but you don't have to hit on it until the final 10 races of the year, and you can win a championship. And I think that Kane and the number 5 team and that entire bunch over there, that's what they're trying to do, and this is the first step.
Yeah, that's well put. Now, let me ask you, as we move forward, I want to get your pick for this weekend. I'm going to go with Harvick. I think that's going to be one of the picks. But before we come back to that, let's talk about a great run last weekend, Martin Truex Jr. You know, he's had a lot of personal problems with his girlfriend going through cancer, which has just been a tremendous story of encouragement. And then he has a great win. I was yelling at the TV last weekend. I said, "You go, boy." You know what I'm saying? I was so proud. And now it looks like the team might switch to Toyota maybe next year. Is that right? And he's looking for a contract extension.
Well, several notes there. They're entertaining the notion of switching manufacturers. Nothing is set in stone. They are certainly happy with Chevrolet right now because clearly the results speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. But there's an opportunity to move up the pecking order with a group like Toyota. That's the benefit there because, you know, look at where they are right now with Fernatura Racing. They are, you know, they're behind Hendrick.
Yeah.
They're behind Stuart Haas. Mm-hmm. They're behind the RCR. They're behind probably another team I'm missing. My point is they're lower on that hierarchy, right?
Yeah.
If you look at Toyota, for example, you got Gibbs. Gibbs is the de facto factory team for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
And you got Michael Waltrip Racing, who is really, really struggling this year. Mm-hmm. They just switched crew chiefs for David Reagan and Clinton Bowyer, trying to really struggle.